from Jason. Game ball to the Bulls HR department for having all those vacation days available during the playoffs for Derrick Rose. Now he can attend the Who's the Biggest Wuss in Chicago Sports Contest between Rose and Jay Cutler without a scheduling conflict.
It must be something in the water in Chicago.
Look, Derrick Rose is the toughest man alive compared to Jay Cutler. Jockstrap to Sugar Cane for violating the personal space man law code. It's Chris Kane from Daybreak, not Chris Kane from Date Rape. Leave a seat, even if you are that pretty. Look, if there's a man that's going to sit on my lap, I want it to be Chris Kane, but I'd still like the buffer zone if you don't mind.
You signaled me to sit there.
I was signaling your
you
headset.
You signaled me.
I wanted to make sure you knew which
was the
proper
headset.
I didn't
want to sit there, but I just walked in, and he gave me a headset and signaled.
It happens. All right. Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods in a catfight over the weekend. Sergio Garcia too aggressive on 17. His shot goes in the water, and for good measure, he follows it up with one more. He ends up making quadruple bogey. Do you think if you play that hole 10 times, you could beat quadruple bogey 9 times?
9 out of 10 times? Yeah. Yes.
It was playing like 130 yesterday or 126 or something.
I think I
That's
could.
A pretty good distance for me. John Daly made the point this morning. He was on the show with no name. That green is basically he's saying it's unforgiving. So it's like if you had a good golf shot, there's no reason why the shot should not hold. It would be nice if they would soften that green. My thing is if you hit a shot on the green, it should hold.
How many times do you see it hit what you think is a good shot and it rolls right off the back into the water? There's
Fires
no buffer
off.
Back there, too. There's no bumper.
No.
You
there's
know,
some
it's,
thick rough, but you got to really – it's got to be slowing down when it gets to the rough.
And it usually doesn't.
Yeah. So I understand where he's saying what he's saying. He doesn't like the hole.
Better than quad. Okay, I think so.
Here's how it sounded on the air when Sergio Garcia dunked shot numero uno into the drink.
This is a very bold line on the right-hand side. Awas! Awas! That ball is in the water. Que lastima, senor.
Pardon?
What?
I beg your pardon?
Exactly. Okay, so we had a number of things working there. You got Tiger Woods and Sergio, and I guess that was going back to Saturday, right, with the slap fight?
Yes, that was when they played Saturday, and then they kind of talked about it a little bit beforehand. There were some rumblings of them not liking each other, not playing nice with each other. And then after the round, they basically unloaded on each other, saying, I don't like him. He doesn't like me.
Yeah, the bottom line is they don't like each other.
They're not cordial.
And Tiger Woods is not fun to play with. I don't think anybody would play with Tiger Woods and say, man, that was really a fun round.
No.
It may be fun to watch him play. Even as a PGA player, you can't help but get yourself caught watching him do what he
does.
You'll
have the biggest gallery out of anyone, no question.
Which adds a lot of pressure to you, even if they're not there to watch you. So that would be unpleasant in its own right, and that's kind of what Sergio Garcia got caught up in anyway. Of course, he's got his own fans, but
they were small.
But Tiger's not fun to play with. He's not a pleasant guy. And I'm learning more and more that they're the guys that are the elites. I think Michael Jordan is probably guilty of this.
You wouldn't want to play one on one with Michael, would you?
No, and the thing
maybe
is,
just say you did.
He wasn't always a pleasant guy to be around. I mean, most people would agree. I mean, he was known to. He punched teammates in practice. I mean, the guy was always on the edge. And I think any of the guys that are elites, or many of the guys that are elites, have that to them. I don't think Jack Nicklaus was the most fun guy to be around probably when he was in his prime as far as playing against him. I mean, these are not most of the
and
guys.
And admittingly so, a lot of these guys will say, you know, I was not a friendly person on the course or on the court.
Right. The Trevinos of the world, I think, are more the exception than the rule. Yeah. I mean, those and John Daly should have asked him this morning, but he would have been better to speak to this than I will. But I mean, it seems like the guys that have the edge are the guys that win, you know. And whether you're talking about golf or otherwise, I mean, how many fun-loving golfers are elite golfers? There aren't a lot of them.
Well, yeah, elite golfers.
I mean,
the elite
even Bubba.
Status, I mean, good golfers.
Even Bubba was not known to be a very pleasant guy to be around.
He's
a good guy. But not very fun to be around. Very intolerant of his playing partners.
I know what you mean.
He's kind of got a reputation. He has flipped the script a little bit, though, and tried to mellow out of touch.
Well, it's helped with these golf videos that they've made that kind of make them more fun and,
well,
and
no,
sociable.
He had kind of an epiphany. He sort of had a moment of clarity.
A wake-up call.
He kind of had a moment of clarity where he's like, you know what, I'm gonna kind of change the way I do business and
have
quit
some
being
fun.
Such a jerk. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, so Tiger Woods talking about his performance, and again, Chris had a tweet yesterday from Pat 40, retweeted something that basically his point was, will there be more talk tomorrow about Sergio's meltdown or Tiger's performance? And, again, we talked about this in the last hour. Sergio playing aggressively, and the theory I have is that he did not want to go to a playoff, and he was willing to take his chances trying to hit a wedge close on 17 and make birdie, because knowing that 18 was going to be an extreme long shot to make birdie there, he would rather take his chances there and try to make birdie,
then 18.
Then go to then tie and go to a playoff and try to face Tiger down and beat him there, which was what everybody wanted. Because the thing is, remember, everybody's like, oh, he blew it. Well, no, if he pars 17 and 18, which is easier said than done, admittedly, he's in a playoff. He's not out of it. He doesn't have to make birdie on 17 or 18.
A bad blood playoff, as you pointed out, which we were robbed of.
Yes, I was so excited about sitting in and watching a playoff of some capacity between Tiger and someone. And then Tiger makes double bogey to let him back in it. And then Sergio right away makes birdie on 16, and it's all good. He's right there. All he's got to do is make par.
It was all teed it up.
So I'm not mad at Sergio because he blew it, other than the fact that I wanted to see a playoff where something interesting happened on 18. The only chance was Lingmuth, after making a par on 17, was him making birdie on 18. He reached the green
from
at 2.
Like 60 feet.
Yeah, it would have been such an
It was very anticlimactic.
So he said, screw it, I'm going to three-putt.
It kind of, yeah.
What do you do if you're Lingmuth there? You know that the odds of making that putt are 1 in 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you trying to? Because he said I was playing to make it, which
he
I
was.
Respect
he
that
was.
Too. Again, whose aggression? His aggression was unrewarded in the same way that Sergio Garcia's was. I appreciate the fact that he had a chance to force a playoff if he makes it, but I would also say the money is so much more substantial if you get second place alone, because it's $1 million second place finish. In this case,
he had to split it.
He lost a little over 300,000.
Yeah.
He lost a little over 300,000 by not making a two-putt there, which, again, from 60 feet, anybody could three-putt, no matter how good you are.
It was a tough shot because you go up and then down that long, long slope on
18. But he said, I was being aggressive because I wanted to make it.
Even the speed on that putt, if it would have – it would have had to gone right over the hole to even have a chance. It wasn't a great putt, period.
And if you're Phil Mickelson or you're Sergio Garcia or you're Adam Scott or some of these other guys, even if you've won a big tournament or whatever, you don't care about the money. But if you're David Lingmuth and you're a rookie, that money matters.
$300,000 is a big difference, especially when you're a rookie.
That's split FedEx Cup points. That's split money. That's split purse money. Those are all things you could have to yourself. A second place finish there is pretty substantial.
Huge.
For him. But 700 grand's nice too.
Of course.
Anyway, okay. So what else we got here? Tiger Woods. Here's a couple of things I looked up this morning. And if you want in on anything of this nature or anything else, feel free at 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. I will say this: if the only call we get today is Tiger bait, I'm quitting radio.
Where's Ira?
You can email us at thezone@1037thebuzz.com, and you can also hit us on the Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback. We do have some of that. I will get to it in a second. Tiger Woods has won 4 times now this year.
Okay.
Nobody else on tour has won twice. Think about that for a second. Nobody's even won twice. He's won 4 times. Of the remaining PGA tournaments that are coming up, Tiger Woods won two of them last year. So
in a down year.
Yeah, exactly. His best year ever, 2000, he won 9 tournaments in a single season.
Wow.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
2 other times he won 8 in a single season. And I think in 99 and 06 he won 8 tournaments. So
it's been a while since he's won upwards of 9.
Yes, since
eight.
He's won the way he's winning now. And again, if he wins a couple more times and he wins a major,
mm-hmm.
Great season.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially good. Considering what he's come back from.
Right.
The comeback story.
That's when I will say,
bigger.
Yeah, if he wins at least 6 tournaments and he wins a major, then I will say he's back to Tiger status.
Agreed.
But that's what it's going to take that at a minimum.
He's almost back at 1 major this year. And based on already having 4, I'd say he's back.
Tiger Woods talking yesterday in his post-match news conference about his performance. Guess what we wasn't talking about after his round yesterday?
His best friend?
Wasn't talking about Sergio Garcia much, no.
It was a tough battle. I mean, the golf course played tricky today. I hit it so good today. It was fun. I hit it high, low, right to left, right, whatever I wanted, except for that tee shot at 14. I didn't really miss a whole lot of shots, and I peered a lot of putts, too. Could have been something pretty low today. Just had a bunch of lip-outs, but they were all good putts. This is a very tricky golf course with a lot of things that can go wrong coming down the stretch in the last, 3 holes. Anything can happen. As you saw at 15, I made a sweet save there, and I got to 16, and I took a chance of going for it in 2. You know, the tees were up a little bit. You could hit it through the fairway pretty easily. You know, we went with 5 wood today and hammered it down there and gave myself a chance.
He talked about the greens being very tricky yesterday, too, and how he kept calling for his caddy to help read them, and he said he got really fortunate on a lot of those reads because of how interesting it was that the conditions being changed from when it rained a couple days before and then it being sunny yesterday. It's just when the different conditions can throw someone off. He said it was a lot tougher to read. Or maybe he's just getting older and his eyes aren't as good as they once were.
Well, his caddy gave a big hug to after the round yesterday And I guarantee you, if I asked, I bet if I asked half the golfers out here at mm-hmm. this tournament today, they wouldn't know who his caddy is. And I think that's just the way Tiger likes it, because he's had two pretty high-profile caddies, and when they've gotten a little too high-profile, they've parted ways. So if Joe LaCava, I guess his last name is, he needs to keep that low profile and keep making that money.
Yeah, he will.
I'm guessing he's on a salary, though. Don't you think? I'm wondering if he gets a typical – if you're Tiger Woods caddy and he gives you X amount of money and it's nowhere near the 10% or whatever you normally would get as a caddy, you take it, right?
You mean nowhere near as in less or more?
Less. I mean, like, let's say – okay, well, Tiger Woods – let's say he's going to make $4 million this year or $2 million or whatever.
Okay.
10% is $200,000.
Sure.
And Tiger says, I'm going to pay $120,000 to be my caddy this year. Do you take it? Of course
you do. Work with a guy like that?
Yeah. Do you take less money to work
with? Well, he's not pleasant to work with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but you know you're going to win. You're going to win a lot.
You're going to win. Well, you know now. Maybe you didn't know before this year.
You know, I've heard of caddies getting sponsorship money, like, you know, to wear a hat or a bit, you know, something.
I think that'd be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Nike. I think Nike's got some funds available.
I think that's probably safe, especially if you're Tiger's caddy.
Sure.
Ethan says Tiger was playing behind Sergio. Actually, he was playing in front of Sergio. Mm-hmm. He says maybe Sergio thought he had to get another stroke because Tiger could have birdied another hole. That's it. But if Tiger birdies 18.
It's a long shot, though.
Yeah, and Tiger had part 17 hole. And a really good two-putt, by the way, by Tiger on 17. If Tiger pars 18, or if he birdies 18 and you lose that way, so be it. There couldn't have been more than a three or four or five pars or three or four or five birdies yesterday at 18.
He saw Tiger putt it in for par on 17. He was on the tee box at the time.
Right.
And that's when he saw his chance or opportunity to take a lead, and he went for it. It didn't pay off for him. It happens. And then he melted down 10 cup style, did it again, and then he proceeded to put it in the water on 18. So Sergio really lost that tournament. I think that's the bigger story in this, and I think that's what Pat Forty brought up, is the fact that, you know, Tiger won the Players, but this isn't a major, even though they call it the fifth major. It's a big tournament. It's the biggest money tournament, with $1.7 million being the winner's take. But the real story here is Sergio breaking down, which we've seen him do before. Maybe not to this extent. Mm-hmm. We've seen Phil break down like this before.
Yeah.
But this was an epic breakdown. Collapse. Choke.
I don't know if it was a choke as much as a miscalculation. That's the thing. Everybody wants to call it a choke. I don't necessarily consider it a choke. I consider it a poor strategy. And his strategy was clearly to be overly aggressive, highly aggressive on 17 in a hole that you know you can't screw around with, which kills me. He's played there enough to know better. He's won the tournament before.
He won the tournament, absolutely.
You can't. I just don't think you mess around with 17 and be overly aggressive.
Well,
there.
You can't mess around with 18 either.
No.
You shouldn't have messed around with either
of them. But here's my thing. Again, yeah, if you didn't make it by then, you should have – you know what? If you wanted to make a move, you should have eagled 15 or 16.
16,
whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. That was your chance.
And he had a very reasonable putt on 16 and left it way wide.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like that's your chance. You can't be overly aggressive on 17 and 18. No. Some holes, par's a great score. Par's a great score on those two holes, for
absolutely.
Sure, on 18. So I don't know what his thinking was there, I guess. I just didn't like the over-aggressive way. But clearly he was playing to win and try to put himself in position to make a birdie. The risk is not worth the reward,
no.
In my opinion.
No.
If he had to have birdie to make a playoff, I would absolutely have been aggressive on 17, because 18 is virtually impossible to make birdie on.
It's kind of like what we were just talking about with basketball. With basketball, whenever you're tied, you let your best player get out there and take a shot. What's the worst that could happen? You go to a playoff. Sergio, same thing. Par these two holes, the worst that can happen is you go to a playoff.
I also started thinking about Sergio, and I can't figure out why I root for him. And I'm thinking, I root for Sergio. I like Sergio. Despite all the stuff he does, despite all the irritation, the spitting in the cup and everything else, and this weekend
and
with
the
whining, we didn't really get into that too much, but there was basically a situation where he was about to hit a shot. Tiger pulled a club. They showed the side-by-side. Tiger pulled a club, got the people around him all revved up. He couldn't see him, which Sergio should have been told.
And it was not in his backswing. It was before the backswing.
Yeah, it was about the same time. I mean, but he could have stopped.
Yes.
He could have stepped away from it and then reset. Anyway, regardless, you got a three-wood in your hand with a whole bunch of room to miss, and he blew it. And he ended up making bogey there. And that was stupid.
And had he hit a good shot, do you think he'd be complaining?
Tiger
no.
made par from the trees. Sergio made bogey from the fairway.
Yeah.
Okay, so he blew that. And the thing is, guess what? If he makes par there, it's pretty significant down the stretch. Maybe he's not going so aggressive on 17.
Maybe a different story there.
If and sack uncle.
Yeah,
that is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen in a golf tournament that can impact your play late. So here's my thing about Sergio. I continue to root for him despite the fact that he continues to do things like we saw this weekend.
He's just a disappointment.
I don't know if he'll ever win a major, but he's only 33. He's got a lot of good years. Jeff Maggart's 49. That's 16 years of golf left, theoretically, then, for Sergio Garcia. okay, to get to Jeff Maggard's. And Jeff Maggard was right in the mix. Jeff Maggard had a look. Jeff Maggard had a chance. He blew it. He threw it in the water at 17 too, for good measure. So he was not the only guy to do it. But Sergio is, he as a Cub fan, he is my guy. Because he's the guy that you
realize disappointment.
He's probably never going to do it. He's probably never going to get there. The difference is at least he has the talent to get there. But I think he's going to be that guy. He's going to be that level loser, yep. And he's going to be sitting there when he's getting ready to go to the senior tour, and he's going to say, the Champions Tour, as they call it now, he's going to sit there and go, I could have won many tournaments. I could have won many majors. I blew it.
But
I just don't know that he'll ever get one.
Tiger Woods. Talk to my backswing.
You think he's going to blame Tiger
still? Oh, yeah. He'll blame someone for that. His true character showed this past weekend. I think that's what happened.
He's a little bit of a baby.
I
cannot believe a professional golfer has the audacity to cry about people making noise anymore.
Exactly.
Get over it.
That's what I mean. Your true character shows whenever you complain about something like that.
Here's what kills me is how come every other player on tour can stop their backswing except for Sergio then? I mean, and everybody then
must be.
It's funny listening to those
guys.
You're
from Spain, you know.
It's like Jacobson. It's like he's so impressed. I mean, I've stopped my backswing before, mostly because my brain goes, don't swing it now. Stop now. And I stop. I mean, if I can do it, these guys are 10 times better athletes than I am. I can't imagine that they can't do it. Okay, so what do you think about Langworth? What would you have done in that situation? You're in that position. And look, he's in a similar position to you, okay? He's a guy that could really use the money. He's in a similar position to me, could really use the money. He's a guy that's just starting out on tour. Do you play? Let's say you could be less aggressive and safely two-putt, which that's an exaggeration because 60 feet, safely two-putting. But let's say you could have been less aggressive and two-putted, had second place to yourself, made a few hundred thousand bucks more. And again, at his level, at his point in his career, he's got to be thinking about that. You got to be thinking about the money.
I would play towards the hole, but I wouldn't have been as aggressive. He overhit it way too much, which I've done plenty of times, and we all have.
For a lot less money than that.
Yeah, for a lot less. But I think I wouldn't have been as aggressive. I still would, obviously, I wouldn't have played a two-putt, but I would have played it more conservative to ensure that I'm walking away with $300,000 more as a 25-year-old rookie making really his first big start in a major tournament, even though it's not a major.
Well, he is Swedish. He's a former Razorback, and hopefully we'll see some good things ahead.
Yeah.
He's never had a coach.
What would you have done?
They said he's never had a coach. He does not have a swing coach. Well, he doesn't have a manager.
Technically, he was in college.
Maybe he doesn't want to share the money yet.
Yeah.
What would I have done?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's my thing. The odds of making a 60-footer are so minuscule. If you can safely, because he said I was overly aggressive.
Sure.
If I could safely two-putt or a little more, I would probably be playing to not make five.
You think he was caught up in the moment of, maybe. Okay, this is my chance to force a playoff?
Which I can't blame him.
Yeah.
Brad's in Sherwood. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Justin. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I want to call in on the golf tournament and put a different perspective on labor. First of all, it's impressive for somebody like that to accept the stage and perform at the level he did. But if you think about it, how many times is he going to get a chance to win a tournament like that as opposed to how many times is he going to see it out to make money? You know, I applaud him for taking the opportunity to win a trophy. He may never get another putt for that trophy again. He'll tee it up another 30, 40, 50 times and have chances to make the money he needs to.
But even
and
the best player...
a lot of people don't realize, there's backside money. The sponsors pay these guys for every dollar they win in official earnings. You know, Ken did share some of that information with us earlier that, you know, for every dollar he made, if he got inside the top 100, they'd kick in another dollar or two on the backside. So I think he's going to pay the rent. I applaud him for trying to win the trophy. And, you know, if you're going to crash, don't crash with the brakes on.
That is your style for sure. 60-footer, though, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the best in the world, if they try that putt 50 times, you're make it maybe once. I mean,
well, I think his mentality, whether he said it the right manner, was I want to give myself a chance to make it. You know, of course you can say I'm going to be aggressive, and you're right, he may make one in 50, but you know, I applaud him for at least trying to make it as opposed to having the mindset of deciding. He's not going to get a chance. I don't think. You know, I hope he does, but not many kids get a chance to win a tournament of that magnitude, and the last thing he would want to do is say, you know what, I tried to gam it up there and I left it short. Sure, I made another 300,000, but you know, I could have went after the trophy and got in this thing.
That's a fair point. There are a lot of guys that like to make $1 million in a season, though, and he was on his way. It's the difference between being a millionaire for the season and not necessarily. Now, I'm sure he'll scrape together another 300 grand the way he's playing.
But sure. And one thing, too, when you get to that level, I think a lot of those guys aren't doing it for the money. You know, they've got money already because it takes a lot to get out there. So I don't think it holds near as much value to them as it would to somebody like Harris.
Yeah, if he was a fifth-year pro playing full-time on the PGA Tour, this would be a totally different conversation. But I'm saying because he's so young, because it's his first year on tour, and because it's his first giant payday potentially. I mean, again, you know as well as anybody, there's a lot of money to be made. I mean, the guys behind – I mean, there's plenty of guys that made – you got to go way down the list to get a guy that was under $100,000. I mean, I'm looking at it right here. But, I mean, the bottom line is there's a bunch of guys that, you know, did not score anywhere close to what the leaders did and made over $100,000 this weekend.
Sure.
But there's a significant chunk of money difference there. You know what I'm saying? So
I agree.
You can scrape a living together, finishing 30th every week or 40th every week, and a really good living. But again, when you got $1 million payday sitting there potentially versus what he ended up settling for $700,000.
And I agree. I think if anything, that's something that somebody can think about after the fact. When you're in the heat of the moment and you realize you got a chance to do something special, you know, I think it would work against you more times than not when you worry about the money. You know, okay,
Brad, you're an above-average golfer. If you're Sergio's caddy and you're on 17 tee box, all you need is a par on 17 and 18, or at least so you think. You know, worst-case scenario, you're going to make a birdie if Tiger birdies 18. What are you telling Sergio on the 17 tee box?
I agree with what you said earlier. I think he needs to play to the middle of the green and give himself an opportunity to make a longer putt instead of go full throttle there. But the difference is, somebody like Sergio is wired different than guys like Tiger or Ernie Els or Jim Furyk or some of these other guys that have a more calm, cool demeanor and have a guy on the bag that will say, you know what, I don't like that shot. You know, you got a guy like Phil Mickelson who will throw the throttle down in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And I've even heard Bones tell him, listen, I don't care for it, but Phil's ultimately the one that calls the shot.
That's true.
Sergio's had a history, unfortunately, of making, I wouldn't say bad, I would say questionable decisions that are sometimes overtaken by emotion. And that's, you know, he's got a $1 million body, obviously, but sometimes he just doesn't have the mentality to keep everything on an even keel. And that's what separates the true superstars from the guys that are really good that just can't get the deal closed. You know, you look at a lot of guys that, I hate to use the word tough, but don't perform to the level they could or should given the opportunity that they have, that they can. You know, and you look like a guy like Adam Scott. You know, everybody was talking about him until a couple weeks ago. When he finally overcame that hurdle, now the floodgates open. To somebody like that, and to any athlete for that matter, when you get a taste of accepting the pressure, performing under the pressure to your best abilities, and even succeeding, then that is a confident feeling that you can't explain until you go through it. But if you don't ever go through that, you don't ever are gifted enough to go through that and win, you don't know that, understand.
The other end of the spectrum is Tiger. Yeah, it's like Tiger hits in the water, he ends up making double, and it's like you can almost see the robot. Now I must make a birdie or two, and I will par out, and I will win this tournament. I mean, he is locked back in. I made double bogey. That is not compute. I will move on forward now, and I will play very well down the stretch, and I will win this tournament.
Michael Jordan did it. Michael
he
Jordan
locks it
would
in.
Get 8 or 10 shots, but he takes the ball again, so he knows I'm going to make 11. And that's the mentality you got to have. You've also got to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to fail, but it's not. I'm not going to dwell on the failure. I'm going to make sure I put myself an opportunity more times to go over it.
It's
I hate it for Sergio, and I think that the whole – thing about the cat fight, that was all for show, and that's all the media. You know, that happened. And what Sergio does, he creates his own enemies and his own pressure by even commenting about that. All he's got to do is hash it out, say, Tiger, listen to this. I know you didn't mean to, but can you hold it back? Or if Tiger even says, dude, my bad. They don't have to be friends. They don't have to have lunch together. But when Sergio takes it a step further and voices his opinion, all he's doing is open up a bad can of worms. And there's nothing good can come of it. And he says it or not, he's going to think about that down the road. He's not fully mentally engaged because he's got these distractions, the sitting in the hall, the tossing himself out of the Masters competition.
So
you know, the
remarkably,
thing about Tiger.
Remarkably cogent,
he's
well thought
enemy.
Out he, analysis by Brad.
And, anyway, I guys, I appreciate you taking my call and appreciate listening to the show every day.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Brad.
Sweetheart. Let me get Jack in real quick. We've got to take a timeout. We've got Coach Hatfield is here, and got another former Razorback legend hanging out with me, my man Gary Adams. A couple of guys that are going to carry me to victory today. Let me tell you something. A couple of guys who are robotic on the golf course right there, and lock it in, shoot us about an 18 under, no problem. Stay out of the way. I'm here to wipe off your clubs, shine your shoes, and that's in between picking my balls out of the water. It's all good. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on the caddies and stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to caddy back in Chicago for a lot of the guys when they used to play, when they had tournaments and stuff. And it's a pretty standard pay. Pretty much all the caddies get 10% of whatever you win. And I caddied for Stan Nikita and Bobby Hall and Flamin' Sammy Snead, who I think was probably one of the best golfers I've ever seen. And I don't know if Tiger's beat his total amount of wins. I think Sam Snead's got 85 wins altogether. But, and you know, once you get the 10%, there are a few of the pros that will tip you more because of the information that you give them. And most of the time before they even go play the golf course, their caddies are out there. They walk every inch of it. They shoot a few holes. You know, these guys are worth their weight in gold. And I think over the years that Tiger has played, he's paid his caddies over $10 million in wages.
That's incredible.
It's a good gig if you can get it. All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, too. Tiger Woods, 78 career victories on the tour, four short of the record held by Sam Snead.
Yeah, that won't be long. He may do that this year. Who knows?
He could.
We were at Maumau Country Club. And much more ahead. Coach Hatfield is here. We're going to talk to Gary Adams, too, former Razorback as well, as we go on through 11:38. And this segment is brought to you in part by our friends at Crazy Mike's. And by our friends, I mean our friend, Crazy Mike. He is a wild man. Tonight is a deal and a half. Buy one, get one half off. So if you play in a golf tournament today and you're looking for a place to maybe have a little dinner, or if you're not playing in a golf tournament today and you're looking for a place to have